Chapter 32.
Damn, Leeson shouted when we showed him what was left of Ortiz. Sargon thrust the bubbling arm up into Leeson's face, making sure the adjunct got a good close look.
Should we go in there and fish the rest of them out? Sargon demanded. I think there might be some more parts that haven't melted down to foam yet.
You're crazy, Weaponeer, Leeson said. All of your men are crazy, McGill.
You ordered my man into that pit, sir, not me, I answered. Adjunct Leeson nodded, still staring at the arm.
So I did.
The smoke had cleared somewhat, and we could see that a discolored soup lay around the egg, which looked rather deflated now.
McGill, Leeson said in a lowered tone, I'm asking for your expert advice here. How do I disobey a direct order from my superior and get away with it?
I blinked at him for a second. It seemed odd to me that my adjunct was asking me such a question. In addition, I found it equally strange that everyone thought I was some kind of wizard when it came to going off script. Still, I felt his question was heartfelt, so I attempted to answer as honestly as I could.
There's no need to get any more troops killed, sir. Ask for Natasha's analysis first.
Leeson ordered Natasha to join our huddled group. She checked over Carlos's remains.
Acid, she said. Probably the same stuff that ate into Minotaur when the aliens attacked. It makes good sense if you think about it.
Let's pretend we're all dummies, Leeson said. Explain it to us.
These eggs, they're baby ship invaders. Remember the monsters that ate through the walls of our ship? They must have started off like these eggs. When fully formed, they're able to burn their way into the hull of a ship.
Then why the hell don't they burn their way through the walls of this ship?
The first layer of defense is the egg casing itself. Many acids only work on either organic or inorganic surfaces. Some of the most deadly ones will eat skin and metal but leave wax or glass alone. Look at the deck in this hold. There's a rubbery layer coating it, a membrane that protects the metal. These hoses or veins, they're embedded in that semi-transparent membrane.
I could see what she was talking about now. What I'd mistaken for roots or hoses were really vein-like growths in an almost transparent skin that coated the inside of the hold.
A hold full of baby ship invaders, Leeson said. I think I get it. This ship isn't exactly like a lifter. I bet it drops these invaders, sending them out in space like landmines. The plant creatures like the ones that attacked us originally when we entered this star system, they amount to a defensive system.
Liking his chain of logic, I nodded in agreement.
Stands to reason, sir, Natasha said.
Will fire destroy these things safely?
Leeson asked her.
Destroy, yes. Safely, I don't know.
Leeson's eyes sought mine.
My helmet is beeping. Graves wants a progress report. What's my next step, McGill?
Your tech is now giving you valuable intel, I said. That's what you'll tell Graves about when he finds out you didn't do as he asked. Always distract with an interesting detail.
Okay, I got that. What next? Should I answer this call?
No, that will establish a timeline you can't afford. We have to move fast. Burn up the eggs. Leeson looked worried, but after a moment of indecision, he made his choice.
Harris, he shouted.
Sir.
Harris, who'd been lingering near the exit after the suggestion he would be the next to go on an egg hunt, suddenly joined our group.
Harris, Leeson said, is it your opinion that these eggs represent a clear and present danger to my man?
He pointed at the mess in the hexagonal chamber. Harris frowned, then looked over the situation. He caught sight of Carlos's arm, which Sargon was still waving around like a baton.
Holy shit, Harris said. Yes, sir. I agree wholeheartedly with that statement.
Then I order you to destroy this danger now.
Harris grinned.
With pleasure, sir.
That was it. We broke out every plasma, grenade, and incendiary device we had with us. Standing back at the entrance, we burned them all down to the metal. Unfortunately, some of the acid got through the egg casings, the membrane, and the flames. Then it burned through the lower hull of the ship we were supposed to be capturing. Leeson was cursing and crying about that, but we had to abandon the ship before we could do anything to stop it. The fumes, heat, and blinding corrosives were melting our suits. Stumbling out into sunlight, falling off the mosquito's tongue, and gasping for air in the clear, I was never so happy to have abandoned a ship in my life. Graves was the last man to exit the ship. He came down the tongue at a walking pace, just as he'd done when first boarding her. At his first approach, we scrambled to our feet and stood at attention. Graves walked among us with a grim expression on his face. He stopped in front of me, and he drew his sidearm. He aimed it into my left eye socket.
"McGill," he said, "you see that gutted ship behind me?"
I glanced toward the mosquito. It was on fire now, stem to stern. The belly was a burning hole with acid, flaming alien eggs, and only God knew what else falling out of it. "Yes, Centurion."
"That might have been our only way off this planet. You just might have permed us all, veteran, for that."
"Sir!" Leeson shouted.
"What is it, Leeson?"
Graves asked, his gun never wavering from its target.
"Sir McGill did not start the fire."
Graves turned his head slowly toward the adjunct.
"What did you say?"
Leeson began to explain. He mentioned the death of Ortiz, the analysis of Natasha, and the backup determination by Harris that the eggs were dangerous. Leeson managed to tell the story right, but he screwed up badly on the last part. Not all men are born equal when it comes to the subtle arts of misdirection, embellishment, and general weaselry. Leeson simply wasn't up to the task. In retrospect, I figured I should have coached him on exactly what to say, but there just hadn't been enough time for that. The basic problem was he was too damned honest for his own good. Sure, when a man lives by his word, he should commit himself to the truth. But the time and place for honesty had long since gone by the wayside. The fact was, Leeson had disobeyed orders. Lying about it afterward, in my opinion, was a relatively minor offense, one that was downright required if you're going to get away with the original crime.
"So," Graves said, his attention fully upon Leeson now, "you ordered these men to destroy this captured vessel because you lost your nerve?"
"It wasn't like that, sir. I—"
"Answer the question, adjunct, yes or no."
"Well, I guess that's so, sir. I'm sorry. It was an error in judgment."
Graves nodded.
"Indeed it was."
The Centurion turned to Harris.
"Veteran, as the most senior non-com in this platoon, I'm temporarily elevating you to the status of platoon leader. Are you ready to take on that responsibility?"
Harris looked from Graves, then to Leeson, confused.
"Well, sir, I think the platoon already has a good leader. I don't—"
Blam.
Graves' sidearm had gone off. Leeson toppled forward onto his face, his helmet a smoking ruin.
"I repeat, Veteran Harris,"
Graves said in a perfectly even, calm voice,
"are you ready to assume command of this platoon?"
"Absolutely, sir."
"Good. Now gather up your troops. We're marching back toward Winslade. He's gotten himself into some kind of trouble."
That was it. Leeson was gone. We stripped his body of whatever useful equipment he had, and we left him lying there on the ground. I felt bad about it, but damn, that man needed to learn how to stretch the truth properly if he was going to pull off stunts like this. As we marched double time back toward the giant trees, Graves moved to my side and trotted there beside me. "Sir?" I asked him. I couldn't help but glance at his sidearm. Fortunately, it was back in his holster.
"McGill," he said, "I still smell your signature brand of bullshit on this fiasco. If I learn that you had a lever on Leeson, that he confessed to save your sorry skin, I'll—"
"Sir, it was the damnedest thing. Leeson just up and lost it, I swear. Before any of us could stop him, the whole place went up. In his defense, though, those eggs were pretty creepy. He might need a psych eval when he gets revived."
Graves slid his eyes to meet mine for a moment. He shook his head.
Sometimes I don't know if you're smart, dumb, or just a smartass.
My grandpa used to say I was one part genius and three parts retard, sir.
That sounds about right. I can only commiserate with the man.
He moved off then, and I sighed heavily, releasing a lung full of tension. Sure, I'd sold out Leeson, but he'd already been executed in the field. With any luck, that wouldn't amount to a permadeath. Graves usually forgave a man after meting out his own particular brand of harsh, instant justice.